Matthew chapter 16. You might recall a few Sundays ago where I used the text from the 16th chapter of Matthew of Peter's confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. There at Caesarea Philippi, when Peter confessed Jesus, there's some things that Christ said, and we noticed that in the course of this conversation that he was going to establish or build his church. And I think I proved beyond doubt that Jesus Christ established his church. He established his church in his public ministry. I'm convinced beyond doubt that Jesus Christ is the rock that the church is established on. I showed that to you in prophecy. I showed you where Peter said in 2 chapter of 1 Peter that Jesus is the rock. I showed you where Peter said in Corinthians that Jesus is the rock. He is the foundation that the church is established on. Mainly, Jesus is the rock. Primarily, Jesus is the rock. It is a big mistake in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew for anyone to ever say that Peter is the rock. Peter is not the rock. Amen. The word Peter and the word rock are two different Greek words. Amen. They're not the same. If he meant for Peter to be the rock, he would have used the same Greek words. Actually, they mean something different. Though they're similar in meaning, they still mean something different. Peter and rock do mean something different. Peter is not the rock that the church is built on. Jesus is the rock. I proved that to you. I showed that to you last week. What we were looking at in the course of this study from the 16th chapter of Matthew, and I might read it again hurriedly, where Jesus answered and said, let me back up. Let's notice there in verse 15, where he asked, whom say ye that I am? Let me back up. Notice in verse 13, when Jesus came into Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, secondly, we notice that the confession or the profession of Peter is also, in a sense, his faith in Jesus Christ is a foundation of the church. You cannot be a member of the Lord's church unless you have faith in Jesus Christ. The church is made up of saved people. People that have been regenerated. The church is made up of regenerated people. People that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? They've experienced the washing of regeneration. Only people that are born again can be members of the Lord's church. His faith is made very prevalent. It's obvious that here in this passage that Jesus says, Peter, who do people say that I am? And he says, thou art the Christ. Peter knew Jesus. He trusted Jesus. We noticed the word Christ and how important that was, how it means the anointed one, and how that actually Peter was submitting to him as the supreme ruler. How that Peter was acknowledging the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Amen. He's God Jehovah. Oh, that the Jehovah Witnesses would get that. Amen. That's what's keeping them from being saved. Amen. You have a Jehovah Witness come to your door. You tell them that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. That's exactly what they deny, and that's exactly what they need to hear. Amen? And until they acknowledge the deity of Jesus Christ, there is no hope of salvation for them. And any people or persons or religion that denies the deity of Jesus Christ, there's no hope of eternal life for them. They must acknowledge Jesus Christ as the great I am. He said, I am. I am. He is the I am. I am the door. I am. Well, anyway, let me notice here just a few things as we go on here in these passages. He says, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, notice here, Peter knew Christ and Christ knew Peter. Now that's important, isn't it? Not only should you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, but the Lord must know you. Remember when Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, 7th chapter of Matthew, how that many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus will profess to them on the day of judgment, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's important for you to know the Lord and the Lord know you. You must have a personal, experimental relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship is established by faith. It's by grace through faith that you're saved, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. So the foundation of the church is Jesus. And it's not only Jesus, but faith in Jesus Christ. And many have regarded the confession and faith of Peter here in this passage as the rock. And I understand where they get that, because we must have faith in Lord Jesus Christ in order to be firmly established eternally. Notice here, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. See? Peter knew Christ. Christ knew Peter. I know you. You're Peter. And he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now it's important for us to understand a few of these terms. We've already understood what the rock meant. But we need to understand what the word church means. We live in a day where people do not understand the meaning and the blessings associated with the church of the true and living God. People deny the authority of the church today. People think they can choose any church they want to, and that's just fine. That's not fine. There's only one church in kind. There may be many in numbers, but you must be a part of the right kind of church. You must be part of the church that the Lord established. He established only one kind of church. Amen. And it's the church that I'm going to speak on this morning. I'm thankful that I'm a member of the Lord's church. Amen. If I did not believe that Victory Missionary Baptist Church was one of the Lord's churches, I would leave here and look for one. But I'm convinced that based upon the doctrines that we hold to, based upon the practice of this church, based upon the spirit that resides here in this place, that we are the church of the true living God. Amen. And other churches that do not hold to the true doctrines and teachings of the scriptures and do not hold to the principles and precepts of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not true churches.
Amen.
The church. What is it to be a church? We know the Greek word means, ekklesia, means called out. People that are called out. I believe you need to be spiritually called out. I believe we are the called out for Christ. Amen. We are called out by Christ, and we are called out for Christ.
Amen.
We are blessed to be called out by Christ, and we are to bless others by being called out for Christ. I want to turn to the 34th chapter of Ezekiel just for a few moments. There when in Ezekiel, where he was prophesying concerning the shepherds of that day, how that they were not appropriately feeding the flock. I love what I've learned at Old Union Minister School. You know, if you can't choose any church you want to choose, you can't choose any pastor you want to have. In the 20th chapter of Acts, we read there in those passages where that the Holy Ghost made the pastors, the elders, overseers of that particular flock at Ephesus.
Yeah, that's right.
I love what Brother Reynolds said at Old Union Minister School. He said, and this is very true, and I'm convinced of this, that when the Holy Ghost has appointed an elder or an overseer over you, that's the overseer God wants for you. That's the one you're supposed to hear preached. You're to hear his preaching. You're to listen to his preaching. The Holy Ghost is using him to convey information to you, to help you, to shepherd you, to feed you. And I believe shepherds need to feed the flock of God. But notice here in this case, in the first verse of the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, they weren't feeding the flock of God. God was upset with the shepherds of Israel. He said, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do not feed." Notice here, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Amen. Brother Reynolds did a good job illustrating and showing that the word feed means more than just to provide food, but it's to oversee. To oversee. But notice in this passage, he goes on through here, and I want to look at a particular passage a little farther down. I believe it's verse 26. Verse 26. See, the church is to be a blessing to the world. He called us out. He set us apart. He sanctified us. And we are sanctified to serve the Lord and to bless and benefit others. But unless the Lord blesses us, we can't help others. We have been called out by the Lord. We congregate together. When I go to church, I want to receive a blessing, don't you? When Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church," he was building a church that would bless others. I believe he also was telling us in those passages that the church would be a blessing to ourselves. Notice here in verse 26, he says, "I will make them." Now, I believe this is a messianic prophecy. He was talking about, since the shepherds of Israel were only feeding themselves and weren't feeding the flock of God, God promised that he would send a shepherd. And that shepherd that he would send, that one shepherd, I believe is Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't he the head of the church? Isn't he the shepherd of our souls? Man, if you don't know the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, then you need to seek the Lord and know him in the forgiveness of sin. You need to have him leading and guiding your life. Notice in these passages, notice what he says, what happened. Verse 26, notice closely. "I will make with them a covenant." Verse 25. "A covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sheep in the woods. I will make them and the place round about my heel a blessing. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings." You want blessings to come your way? Then you need to be in the church of the true living God. Amen. "I will cause them to experience showers of blessings." Now, Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 21, "Unto him, unto Christ, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." I believe the glory is given to Christ in his church. We're not to be individuals freelancing and doing our own thing. Amen? Jesus established a divine institution, and that institution is here. It's in the world. Now, what is the church? What is the church? I believe the church is a visible manifestation of a spiritual kingdom that Christ established. It was predicted and foretold in prophecy that Jesus, that the God of heaven, would establish a kingdom here in the world. And they would consume and destroy all the other kingdoms of this world. Now, primarily, the principles of Christ's kingdom are spiritual. We learned about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. The Sermon on the Mount. All of these spiritual principles that Christ gave us. He showed us the spiritual side of the law. And when they are carried out by a group of people, when they are carried out and there's fruit that's manifested through people surrendering their hearts and their lives to the principles and laws of Jesus Christ, there's a visible manifestation of them. Amen. And the church is a local, visible manifestation of the spiritual kingdom of God that Christ established when he came to this world. And I am a blessed person to have seen it. In the hills of Hendersonville, Oh, they need to see the blessing of God upon us. Notice here, he said, I will bless them. I will bless them. I will bless the hills around them. I will make them. Notice here, look in this passage. I will make them. Who's them? That's us. That's individual church members. Each one of us in particular. We're to be salt and light. Isn't that what Jesus taught in the 5th chapter of Matthew, verse 13? You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. If the salt loses its savor, we influence other people. We season this world. We're not to just be light to keep ourselves illuminated. We're to illuminate this world. We're to let our light shine. I'm afraid too many Baptists have their light under a bushel. Pull that thing out from underneath the bushel and let your light shine. How do you let your light shine? By me being a member of the Lord's church. Amen? Identifying yourself with the institution that he established when he was here. He said, I will make with them a covenant. He told us that we would have a covenant of peace. Listen, you cannot be a member of the Lord's church unless you have peace with God. Amen. Paul said in the 5th chapter of Romans, therefore being justified by faith. Amen? How are we justified? By exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, therefore being justified by faith, what do we have? He said, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a subjective spiritual peace that comes into your heart that lets you know that your sins have been blotted out, that you've been forgiven of sin, that you've been born from above. Amen. Man, if you've not been born again, you need to get born again. You need to experience the new birth. Yes. If you've not had your sins blotted out and experienced the forgiveness of sin, you need to experience that. You need to have that. The gospel church sends forth a message to the world that if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And upon this rock, he said, I'll build my church. Amen. Yeah. When Paul was preaching to that Philippian jailer, he came out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thine house. And that's upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. You need to be established on Jesus Christ and the church needs to be established on Jesus Christ. There are too many churches today that are established on other things other than Jesus Christ. Amen. And people, that's wrong. Amen. You know, we live in a day where people come forward. I went to church last Sunday. I hate for you to think that your pastor going on vacation and not go to church. I went to church. I figured, well, one was as good as another. So I selected one right down the road, pretty good size one, had two services. And Angie and I, we talked about going to the early service, you know. I thought that'd be cool, go at 8:30, you know. And I've done that before, but even here locally, gone to some of my other churches' early service. But there was a lady there that came forward to unite with that church. They didn't ask her if she was saved. They didn't ask her to give a profession of faith. They didn't ask her to tell her experience. They just received her in, you know, just received her in. The church must be built on lively stones. You must have a vibrant, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you have no business being a member of the Lord's church. But because it is upon that vibrant, living, experimental relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. You know why the gates of hell are prevailing against many churches? Huh? You know why? Because they have a dead faith. Right. Amen. Yeah, dead faith. They don't have a living faith. They have a dead hope. They don't have a living hope. Man, there's a big difference between being saved by grace and being saved by works. Yeah. People cannot get to heaven on works. You must be saved by the grace of God. It is the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Notice here in this passage, he said, I will make them and the places around about my hill a blessing. Are we blessing the hills of Hendersonville? See, in every case throughout the scriptures, when God calls somebody, He calls for the purpose of not just blessing that person, but to bless the world. Not just to save that person, but to reach out to the whole world. Look in the 12th chapter of Genesis. Remember Abraham's call? Huh? Yeah. Do you remember Abraham being called out? When God chose to bless him, didn't he do it not just for his sake, but for the sake of the whole world? Let's look in the 12th chapter of Genesis just for a moment. It says, "And the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Did you get that? "And thou shalt be a blessing." All right? God said that he would bless us and we would also be a blessing. In Ezekiel 34 and 26. Here, he told Abraham, "I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing." Every case and every situation where God calls and saves and blesses, he does it that we would also be a blessing to others. Are y'all with me? What about those holy hills? What about our homes? Has the church and the blessings of the church been a blessing to your home? Oh, me. You know, some of you, when I first came here to this church, your homes were only sanctified by you. You were the only person in that home that was saved. Now I look at your lovely faces and your families are here and your spouses are saved and some of your children are saved. You know, when I first came here, many of these homes, they were broken homes or there was tragedy or troubles here and there, but the Lord healed your home. And hasn't the church been a blessing to you? Sure it has. Sure it has. I believe any place where you find one of the true churches of Jesus Christ, it is a blessing to that community. I know a lot of people say democracy is what's kept this country like it is. They're wrong. The thing that's kept this country in its soberness and soundness is the planted churches of Jesus Christ. You know, our founding fathers had many fearful questions and concerns about democracy. They weren't sure it was going to work. And we put a lot of trust and confidence in democracy. But I'm convinced that any nation, whether they choose or hold a democracy or not, if they are not founded upon a sure foundation, they will fall. Amen. And the foundation of this country was not democracy, it was God. It was the principles and precepts of God. It was the Word of God. That's why it was all of our courthouses. That's why when Congress came together, they prayed to God. Kind of chased a rabbit. But the blessings of this country are the result of the planted churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's told Abraham, "I'm going to call you out." And when he calls us out, he blesses us. That we might be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. All right, I'm going to try to close. I didn't mean to take so much. This is supposed to be a real simple message. But look, he said, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." When God chooses any person, when he calls any person, when he elects any person, when he saves any person, he doesn't do it just for their sake, but he does it for the world's sake. He didn't send Jesus just to save Israel. He sent Jesus to save the world. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? A lot of the Calvinists get this stuff all mixed up. They don't see that the choosing and the blessing, the singling out, whether it was Abraham or Israel, Israel was a vehicle to usher in and benefit and bless the whole world. Amen. That the Son of God might be born.
Fulfill those prophecies. Prove unequivocally that he is the Lord of glory. All right. Notice he said, I will make them and the places round about my heel a blessing. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings. How does he bless us? Well, he gives us the grace that we need. He blesses us with the holiness we need. Amen? The purity we need. We don't have purity within ourselves. No. He blesses us with knowledge, enlightenment. He gives us insight into spiritual and eternal things. There are showers of blessings. Some of y'all got your umbrella up. Put it down. Let the showers of blessing flood your soul. Come to realize those eternal spiritual things. This world is doomed. And knowing the destruction of this world, what manner of people ought we to be? In a holy conversation, amen? Yes, Peter was telling us clearly, this world is going to be destroyed. Our focus should be on Christ. Our focus should be on spiritual things. And that is a shower of blessing. How many showers of blessing? Look around. Do you know somebody that you prayed for and had a burden for that's been saved? Huh? Isn't that a blessing? Huh? Showers of blessing. What about when the Lord comes, when we are collectively gathered together in church capacity? Are there occasions where it begins to rain? And God opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing upon us, sometimes so great we can't hardly contain it. You ever had your cup run over? Huh? Your spiritual cup. And you're so glad for the blessings of God. Listen. The gospel has been deposited in the church. And the church preaches to the whole world. And we've been sent and commissioned to the whole world. We have been sent to bless the whole world with the good news that Jesus saves. And he does. And if you're lost today, he'll save your soul. When you get saved, you need to join the Lord's church. I think the Lord looks down off his lofty throne many times and is put out by the way some act toward the church. If you guys realize that we are all members in particular, those of us that are part of the body of Christ. We have been built together by the Holy Spirit. We've been fused together. And when you insult one of us, you've insulted the Lord's church. Amen? From the least to the greatest of us? I mean, you might as well just stand and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and insult his church. Y'all realize the church is the bride of Christ. Yeah, you know, it'd be like you talking about my wife. Huh? Yeah. Or me talking about yours. Yeah. Dina, he's a very gentle man, but I'd see fire come out of his eyes if I talked about Wanda. Wouldn't I? Huh? Sure I would. Yeah. And I tell you, there's fire that comes out of the eyes of Christ. This church that Christ established is the greatest institution in all the world. Amen. And I'm glad to be just a brick in it, you know, or doormat, whatever I am, you know, that's fine. If I'm just meant for people to come in and wipe their feet on in this house of God, thank goodness I'm in the house of God. praise his holy name. I'm thankful this morning that there was a church in the city where I grew up. I'm thankful there was a church that preached the truth and had deposited it not only the gospel, but also the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. And administer the ordinances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa, what a blessing. Well, I'm happy this morning that I'm not just saved, but I am a member of the Lord's church. The church of the true living God. The pillar in the ground of the truth. I'm part of that institution, that divine institution. I cherish my membership. Not just membership. No. No, my being infused into the body of Christ. Yeah. And I'm thankful to be connected with all of you. You know, when I'm not here, I miss being here. And it's not this place. It's not the. It's not this building. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's being part of you, being fused with you, us united together, committed in covenant together to uphold the teachings and the principles and the doctrines of Jesus Christ, upholding that, keeping that. God said, I would bless you, and you would be a blessing to others. He said that to Abraham, and every time when he calls out a group, and that's what Jesus did in the end. When he, before his ascension, he blessed his church, didn't he? And he said, you tarry in Jerusalem, I want to bless you. And when I bless you, you're going to be a blessing to others. I'm reading between the lines. I'm paraphrasing. But isn't that what he said? Y'all tarry in Jerusalem. And he said, I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Paracletus. Someone to stand beside of you, to empower you, to enable you, to bless you and help you bless others. People, we're not just to be a blessing of ourselves. We need to be blessing others. Let the Church of Jesus Christ look around the holy hills of Henderson, the hills of Hendersonville, and may they become holy hills through the influence of this church. If you'll stand, we'll